Now, shall we open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John? I'm going to speak very simply this week on the salvation plan, and I'd like to bring a message this morning to each one of the believers and those that might not be a believer here this morning, and try to touch our hearts of those that are saved, the importance of giving out the gospel, and also for those that aren't saved to see the need of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's read the first few verses of the Gospel of John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a wonderful portion of God's word this is. This book of John goes back further than the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis began, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. This brings out even before creation took place. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a great thing to see that God is bringing to us the greatness of His beloved Son. The Word, in the 14th verse, it says, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a wonderful thing it is to see the simplicity that the gospel is brought forth in the third chapter of John, and even in this beginning portion of the Word of God in John. In the first verse, we notice that he uses mostly one-syllable words. There's only one word. That's not a one-syllable word. It's beginning. The second word verse is the same thing. There's only one word. That's not a one-syllable letter word. Here we notice that in this portion of God's Word, God uses very simple terms that all might understand. And beloved, the older I get, the more I'm convinced when I preach I should be as simple as ABC to try to get the message of God over to every individual. For what good is the message of God if it passes over the heads of the listener? You take the verse of John 3:16. It has 26 words in that wonderful verse. And 19 out of the 26 words in that beautiful portion of God's Word are one-syllable words. You see, God has made salvation very simple and plain to all of us. And it's only mankind that has made salvation very difficult for those that hear the Word to understand it and to take it in. And so every one of us that preach the Word of God, we should remember to throw away our big vocabulary and use very simple terms that all might be able to take it in. I'll never forget one time sitting in a line in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'd been preaching in the little assembly there that was there at that time. Of course, they've got a big assembly there now. But at that time, they had a very small assembly. And I was over with that group of Christians meeting, and we went to a restaurant, and we're standing in line waiting to get into this cafeteria. And there was a man that came along with a hat, and he took it off, and he put it down in the curving, and his nice gray hair just sparkled in the sun. And then he opened up his Bible, and he started to quote Scripture to all of those that were standing in the line. And he gave one verse of Scripture after another, and another Scripture, and another Scripture. Just the plain Word of God. He didn't preach to us. He just quietly gave the Word of God to us as we were standing waiting to get into the restaurant. Beloved, a dear lady in front of me that I didn't know turned around. She says, I've been to one of the biggest churches here in Cincinnati this morning. And she says, standing in this line, I've heard more gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than I heard in an hour in my big church. She says, my heart has been thrilled by just listening to this man talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all he gave to the people standing in that line was not his ideas on the scripture, not a sermon, but just portions from God's Word. After he finished quoting for some time, he just closed his Bible and walked off his way, not knowing the results of it. How my heart was thrilled that day to hear this gentleman give the gospel. I didn't know who he was, and I don't know to this day. But what a message he had to those people that were standing waiting to be fed. Very simple, giving out the Word of God. So important it is for all of us that give the Word of God to be simple and plain, that all of the hearers, from the youngest to the oldest, can understand God's Word. Now that's what he brings out in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice what it says in the third verse, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Beloved, this one that becomes flesh is the creator of the world, the one who put the stars in its place, the one who put the world on its axis, the one that created all things, the one who created you and me as we see through Adam and Eve's life where we come from, who created all things that we might even enjoy them. This is the one that is our Savior. So many times people try to put down the Lord Jesus Christ in second command. They try to put down the Holy Spirit in third command in the Godhead. And they got different avenues. But beloved, there's no jealousy in the Godhead. God is not like man. His ways are not like man. And he's so much greater than man that we can't take in his greatness or his great love. But notice what it brings out in that fourth verse. It says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. In him was light. Beloved, I'd like us to turn to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John for a moment, for the believers that each one of us might be able to see what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the 39th verse of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Beloved, though death might take place in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give to us eternal life. Absent from the body is present with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to raise those bodies that die down here in a perfect resurrection, a perfect body. He has the last say. At the last, he says, but should raise it up again at the last day. Notice the 40th verse. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Beloved, what kind of life does he give to individuals? He gives them everlasting life to those that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us eternal life, life that will never die. What a great thing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. And again, he brings it out. He will raise it up again at the last day. Notice the 44th verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What a great thing to see that the Father draws all men to the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ will raise him up again at the last day. Now notice the 54th verse. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What a great Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to bring us forth from deadness to life. And beloved, if you're in sin this morning, you're dead in trespasses and sin, you have no life in you at all, spiritual life to God. You can't understand God. You can't understand his workings in your life, because you're still dead in trespasses and sin. But those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have life and have it more abundantly. What great life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says in the next verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Beloved, what a great thing this is to see, that the light shineth in darkness. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see light shining in darkness? What happens to the darkness? The darkness flees. Now, beloved, I might be saying something here this morning that might make you think a little bit about this verse. So many times I always thought that comprehended meant there that the darkness could not keep back the light. But, beloved, when you get into the contents of the chapter and you get down into the study of the verse, you see that it's not true. For this is what it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not take in the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, this is why so many people in Morgantown and throughout the world are not saved. Because they have never been able to see the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we might say, what? They can't see the light? If I walked in here this morning or tonight, and I say the lights are on, you say, my, what a brilliant deduction. We all can see that the lights are on, Jim. But beloved, there might be somebody that can't see that the light's on. Because they're in total darkness all the time. And even when you turn on the light, they cannot see the light. You might say, well, what kind of an individual would that be? Well, beloved, that's a man or a woman or a child that has never had the privilege to see the light of day. Those that are blind. A blind man can't see when the lights are on. He's in total darkness all the time. I had a friend that was a blind man. And one day after I got acquainted with him in Sanford, North Carolina, I invited him over to my home for a meal. And he accepted the invitation and came. And when he came into the house, I was going to help him, and he says, no, I can see. I thought to myself, you're stone blind, you can't see a thing. But he had his cane, and he had his ear. And he took that cane, and he went around the room. Oh, this is a chair, this is a wall, and he showed me what he could do. Sure enough, he found his way around my house. Amazing to me. He went according to the sound that bounced off the wall to his ears. He could walk sometime without his cane and tell you how close he was coming to the wall. And he wouldn't miss it by a few inches. Even when he was further away from it, he'd keep on walking to it. He'd say, now I'm so many feet and so on. And he could tell you how far he was from the wall. A very amazing illustration he gave to me. When we sat down at the dinner table, I started to ask him questions. I said, sir, could you tell me, what is it like to be a blind man? I said, do I get the sense of what it's like to be a blind man when I take my hand and I close my eyes and I put my fingers over my eyeballs and I close out the light of the day? Is that what a blind man's like? Oh, no, he said, no, Jim, no. I said, what do you mean, no? I said, I just see blackness. Oh, he said, but. He said, you see a little ray of light. But he said, you see, Jim, from my birth, I have never seen one ray of light. I said, you mean you don't know what light is? He said, the only thing I know about light is what people have described to me. He says, I know nothing of light. Now, beloved, can you get what John is bringing out here? Here is what he's saying about the world. The world is in such total darkness, dear believer, that they can't see the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will never be able to see the glory of Christ unless you, who have 20/20 vision spiritually, can open their eyes and describe the light to them through your testimony and through the Word of God, that they might have their eyes open, that they might see. The dear man that the Lord Jesus Christ met, he said first he saw men walking as trees, and they asked him after the Lord gave him his sight, holy, he could see like other men, and his sight was perfect. They looked at him, and they asked him about the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did this to thee? They asked the parents, is this your son? They said, we know it's our son. Well, how did he get healed? How did he get his sight? We know not, ask him, he's of age. And what his answer was, all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And beloved, that's your case if you're a believer. Once you were blind, but now your eyes have been opened up to the glories of Christ. You children here, and you adults and maybe teenagers, you sometimes wonder and you think your mother and dad are kind of screwy upstairs, and you say, well, they just don't understand the dispensation in which we're living in. They don't understand the age in which you're living in. They're kind of ignorant to it. Oh, no, beloved, they understand it better than you do. The only thing is you see you're blind and you can't see all the things. You see, a man that's blind can't see it. And that's why your mother and dad, they tried to say to you, and a preacher tries to say to you and warned you of things to come. And you say, my, aren't they ignorant? But the person that's ignorant is the person that's blind if they don't take advice from those that see. If you're being led by the blind, how will the blind lead you? They will lead you into the ditch. If you're blind, you need somebody to grab you by the hand and take you around the mountain curve or take you around the dangerous passage which your eyes could not see the danger of. So many times people say, Jim, don't, you know, you're too strong. And sometimes you get so strong in the gospel and you preach so much sometimes on a lake of fire. And, you know, you should be more kind and loving. They say, you know, we shouldn't go ahead and tell people they're going to the lake of fire and hell. I mean, after all, that upsets people. But, beloved, let's stop for a moment and just consider. Consider a blind man. Here's a blind man walking down the road, and here's a big fire in front of him. And I see him. I have my 20/20 vision, and I see the dangers of the blind man as he takes his cane, as he walks, and he's walking closer to that fire. And I go up to him and say, sir, wait a minute, stop. There's, leave me alone. What do you mean, leave me alone? There's fire in front of you. Oh, leave me alone. Don't you see I've got my cane? But, sir, you don't realize you can't get around that fire. Oh, leave me alone. My cane is taking me through every place. But, sir, you're depending on something that will vanish even in the flames of fire itself. And when you get into the middle of the fire, the cane will be burned up. Then what will guide you? Oh, beloved, he goes on his way and says, get away from me. Leave me alone. If I want to go in the fire, leave me alone. So I stand aside and I start grabbing and shake off my arms and my hands. And he walks into the fire and he gets burned up. Please turn the tape over. Thank you. The people say, and they look at me afterwards and they say, Jim, how could you let that man? How could you let that man go into the flames of that fire when you knew it was there? You could see, Jim. Well, beloved, any court in this country would convict me of negligence, would convict me and put me away for negligence for not helping a man if there was danger there. Even there's laws on the books that they don't enforce. If you pass an accident and you don't stop and give help, you can be held liable for not helping those that are hurt at the scene of an accident. But, beloved, here's a man that he falls into the fire and he burns up, and it's all because who I am that I had eyesight and I didn't help him. People would say to me, Jim, why didn't you just grab a hold of him and pull him from the fire? But he didn't want me to. Beloved, that's what some of us Christians are saying today. People are going to the pit of hell. And I wonder if our hearts are ready. I wonder if we're shedding tears for our children that are going to hell. They're going to burn in hell, and yet we don't want to danger our relation with them. We don't want to say, look, sir, look, man, you don't want to go there. Leave me alone. I'll find my own way. But they're blind. Don't you see? Your children are blind. They're going to hell. And unless you open their eyes, they'll never see. Christian friends, this week we're going to try to lead men and women to Christ. But this is not my campaign. This is your campaign. Your friends that are lost. Your friends that are going to the fire. You who have 20/20 vision spiritually can see the dangers of these people that are lost. Will you please get a burden for your lost friends and bring them out to hear the gospel? They'll never hear unless you go with the gospel and tell them and warn them. You see, they can't see the danger. Our children can't see the danger of being in hell, but hell's a real place. Beloved, when Herman and I were over to Israel, I'll never forget so many times we would stop and look at the eastern gate. And right over to the left of the eastern gate, at the same time you're looking at the eastern gate in a Muslim cemetery that's in front of the closed eastern gate, you can see over to your left the pinnacle of the temple which Jesus Christ was taken up on and tempted by Satan. And then a little bit down towards the left you find the Garden of Gethsemane where the church of all nations is settled over the rock which the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to have prayed at. And oh, how many times I've looked at that scene in my movies, and I have seen it, and I've said to myself, how close all of this is together. But beloved, you know, as I thought of so many people that can't see what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for them, they can't see as you look even beyond Gethsemane, down into the valley, right over to the left a little bit further, is Gehenna, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ looked at, and he talked about hell in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke more of the lake of fire than anybody else in the book that is written for us to understand and to read. Our Savior warned men and women of the judgment that was to come. And yet people don't realize how dangerous it is to fool with God. And maybe there's a friend here this morning. You say, well, I sure didn't expect to hear a message like that this morning. I came to get comforted. My friend, if I could only open up your spiritual blinded eyes to see the light of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ, it would be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Greater than a man who is blind to have his physical eyes opened up. But the reason you can't understand the gospel is because you're a blind man. You might say, well, who has blinded me? Could we turn to the book of Corinthians, please? The second book of Corinthians, the fourth chapter, it says these wonderful words. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Beloved, the gospel is hid to you. You here this morning that are not saved. The gospel's been hid to you. Why has it been hid to you? Maybe you've been raised in this chapel all of your life. Maybe you've been a Sunday school boy and you come right through, right up to the age of 20 or 30 years old or 40 or how long this chapel has been here, and you've heard the Word of God over and over, but the gospel has always been hid to you. Do you know why it's hid? Because you're blind and can't see. Notice what it says in the fourth verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Beloved, here is the glorious message of Christ going out. You've heard it over and over and over and over again. And yet it's been hid to you. There's that treasure, it's hid. And yet you've never had your eyes opened up to see that God has given to you the gift of eternal life. He says, here's Christ. He died for your sins on the cross. He paid for all of your sins. And all you have to do is receive him into your life and you'll be saved. And beloved, you never get the light of the glorious gospel of the message of Christ until you receive Christ. No sinner who hasn't received Christ can't understand the Word of God. If you read this Bible and you can't understand it, the reason you can't understand it, you might say, well, it's not even a good textbook. Like one professor in a university was supposed to be preaching and teaching how a preacher should preach, and he was instructing the preachers, and he'd take his Bible the first day of class and throw it across the room. He said, this book that we're going to be studying isn't even a good textbook. That's why so many of our preachers that are coming out of college today and the universities don't believe in the Bible, because they've got an instructor who hasn't had their eyes opened up to who Jesus Christ is. A man who's in the world can't tell you anything about Christ. I get amazed about all these people. They'll go to the people that are very rich and are very successful and have invented something, and the world goes to them and say, what's your religion? Well, my religion. And they give their religion. Beloved, just because a man has a gift to invent things, and just because a man has earned a lot of money, it doesn't mean that he knows the way to heaven. I would rather ask a poor man that knows his Bible and one who has put his whole life in the Lord Jesus Christ the way to heaven than some rich man that's made $1 million, maybe dishonest or honest, whatever he's made it, and ask him a spiritual question. Listen, if they're not saved, if they haven't had their eyes opened up by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working on their life, they have no light on the subject. You could be the greatest student in the Word of God. As beloved, and I think Herman will back this up with me, as we were over there in Israel, we had one Jewish guide and one Arab guide, and beloved, you talk about knowing the Scriptures. Well, some of us preachers would blurt out and say, isn't this? And they'd rebuke us and say, no, that passage doesn't go with that in the Old Testament. And then they would take and quote the Old Testament passage, and they'd quote the New Testament passage. The first guide that we had, he was so impressive to me that every time he mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would kind of bow his head, and he'd say, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought he's probably a Plymouth Brethren. I didn't know. And then I found out that he was a Jewish man. He had never accepted the Lord. He said he was investigating it. But, beloved, he knew his Bible. He knew the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen, you can know it verse by verse, but if you don't know the Savior, you don't know anything. Do you know the Savior of the book? Beloved, there's a lot of people that know the writing of the Bible, but they've never had their eyes opened up because they've never received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. They've never had forgiveness of sin. Beloved, aren't you thankful that the God of this world has been chained in your life? You that are saved, that he's been taken away and you've had your eyes opened up and you've seen the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have looked at the cross, and for the first time when you looked at the cross, you saw Jesus Christ dying there for you. But the average sinner, again, he hears the cross preached. So somebody died. So there's criminals crucified with him. How do I know if he's a good man or a bad man? They're blinded by the God of this world. The world says in their blind stupor, if I go to heaven, fine. If I go to hell, fine. You see, the reason they say that is because they're a blind man and have never seen. And sir, if that has been your answer, or madam, if that has been your answer, when somebody has witnessed to you, you're in bad shape. You're on the way to the lake of fire. You're to the way of the burning. Beloved, what does it say there in 2 Corinthians? It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This week, the knowledge of the glorious knowledge of Christ is shining unto you and is shining right now to you. For I'm bringing you to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How your sins can be forgiven. How can they be? Notice the next verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Oh, beloved, it's so wonderful to see what it says here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when this world was covered in darkness and creation, he had the glorious light shine on the world and gave it the sun by day and the moon by night to lighten it up, the stars to shine over it. And beloved, the darkness flee. He gave light. That's exactly what he has to do in your life. You have to be created over anew. That's what we call today the new birth. We have to be born again into the family of God by trusting what God has said in his precious word. And when we trust him, our eyes are opened up to the marvelous gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? Good news. Christ paid for my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary for your sin. He paid a debt he did not owe. But I owe a debt I cannot pay. Oh, beloved, have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or are you still blinded where you're seated this morning? Notice what it says in John again. It says in the 5th verse, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Beloved, the darkness couldn't take it in. So what did God do? This world was so blinded by Satan, and beloved, you who are outside of Jesus Christ are so blinded by Satan that you can't see what God has for you. You know what you see? You say, if I get saved, I'll have to give up this. If I get saved, I'll have to give up that. If I get saved, I won't have a good time anymore. If I get saved, I'll have to have a long faith. Beloved, that's the lie of Satan. A person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ is the happiest person. They don't have any more hangovers because God has delivered them from some bad habits. But God does the delivering. We don't do the delivering. He's the one that removes the sin. We come just like we are. We don't turn over a new leaf and try to make restitution for what we have done before we're saved. We come to Him with our sins. And He removes our iniquities, our sins, as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgression. But notice what it says in that sixth verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Beloved, all it was John. You know, when we come to the President of the United States, no matter when the President gets into office, they never announce him. Now, Jimmy Carter has received many degrees bestowed upon him since he's been President. He's had degrees of doctor's degrees put upon him since he's been President. Now, since he's had those degrees put upon him, they don't say to him, to the people of the United States, and now, Dr. President Jimmy Carter, or Dr. Professor so-and-so Jimmy Carter. Oh, no. What is it? Listen, when a man becomes President of the United States, as far as his degrees go, they fade in existence, you might say, as far as the world's concerned. Because there's no greater degree that a man can have placed upon him than the office of the United States of America. When they introduce the President, they say, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, because there's no greater degree that can be placed upon a man than that office which he holds for our United States. The doctor's degree slips into insignificance. Beloved, when you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you have a bunch of names before your name. All God said about John is his name is John. He was going to be the one to point the way. Beloved, when you work for the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need any degrees. You just need to serve Him. You see, that's why every one of you believers, no matter if you have been or haven't been to school, God has ordained you to go forth to preach the gospel to every creature. That's your duty, your representative. I'm so glad that He just made it John. Jim can bear witness of the light. Mary can bear witness of the light. June can bear witness of the light. John can bear witness of the light. You can bear witness of the light. There was a man sent from God. Beloved, if you're saved here, you're the sent one to the world to bear witness of the light that's come into the world, that Jesus Christ can take the sins of the world and remove them. God has sent you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Are you doing your job for what you have been born into His family for? Beloved, He sent John. Why did He send him? Notice the seventh verse. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Beloved, He came to bear witness of the light. John came into a dark world. And he came into that dark world and Jesus Christ was born and he came to his own. When he came to his own nation, the Jewish nation, they didn't receive him. John said one day as he saw Christ walking on the way, he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was introducing the light to the world. Beloved, have you ever been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ? He can take your sins away. He can take your sins away right where you're seated by you looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, I see that you died for me and I'll believe on you. The light has come into my life. Beloved, so many times, and I've been preaching in different places, people have been saved right when I've been preaching. In fact, the last campaign I had here, one lady on a Sunday morning went home after the service, and at home, she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. She had her eyes opened up. Beloved, maybe you have had your eyes opened up to what Christ can do for you if you will receive Him. And there this morning, right where you sit, you can have your blinded eyes opened up and say, Lord, I want to see. I want to be saved. Wouldn't you like to have eternal life? All men want to go to heaven. All men want to be saved at the end. But some want to just play around with God. Listen, sir, this might be your last opportunity to be saved. God is begging you to open your eyes this morning and look at Calvary once again and see Jesus Christ dying there for you, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John bore witness of the light. He said to the world, the light's on. Jesus has come into the world to take your sins away. But the world was so blind, they couldn't receive the witness of John. Then Jesus demonstrated his miracles, but the world, when they looked at the miracles of Christ, they were still blind. They led him finally to the cross of Calvary in their blind stupor. They crucified him and said, you saved others, save yourself. But they were still blind. They couldn't see why he was dying there. But the prophet Isaiah tells us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. You see, the people down below the cross had never seen Christ dying for their sins. They thought he was dying for his own sins. But then they looked up at that cross and they said, he's dying for our sins. In the first meeting we had, they first quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Oh, what a great thing. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Beloved, have you been saved? Have you ever had your eyes opened up to the Lord Jesus Christ and seen Him dying there for you? The 12th verse says, but as many as received Him, I'm asking you this week to open up your eyes and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of the brethren back home when I was a boy would stand back by the door. As the people would go out, they'd buttonhole them. We don't do that much anymore. They'd say, have you seen the light? Have you seen the light? People would look at him the first time and say, what is he talking about? Seeing what light? Well, they knew he wasn't saved. Beloved, if I asked you this morning, have you seen the light? Would you know what to say? Have you been born again? What is seeing the light? It's seeing that Jesus Christ has died on a cross for your sin and your sins are removed. Beloved, have you trusted Him? Oh, if you haven't trusted Him this morning, why don't you do it right now? As many as received Him, He'll receive you. Will you receive Him? Maybe you've been under the preaching of the gospel for a long time. And you wanted to come and say, yes, I want to be saved. You want to come and really identify yourself with Christ. This morning I'm going to give an invitation. I don't apologize for giving a public invitation. And I want to tell you, beloved people, why one day I preached at Sanford and my time was a little gone. And I said, well, we will not sing today. And I just closed in prayer. And a man walked out the door and he said to one of our deacons, after I shook his hand, he didn't say it to me. He walked out the door and one of the deacons saw him, that the man was no doubt touched by the word. And he thanked the man for coming. The man said to the fellow, he said, sir, he said, I would have been saved this morning if that man would have given an invitation. I don't want you walking out of here and saying I didn't give you an opportunity to be saved. You can be saved right where you sit. I'll give a public invitation. If you don't know that you're saved and you want to be saved, and you want to know that you're going to heaven, you want your eyes opened up, I'm giving you an opportunity to slip out of your seat and to come forward. Coming forward will not save you, but it'll give me an opportunity to point you to Christ. Because it's so easy after the message is over to just go out the door and not to think of it again. Beloved, I want to give you an opportunity when the Spirit of God is working on you this morning. You're maybe going to the lake of fire, but you need to be saved. How about it this morning? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? He's ready to receive you. He wants you to come to Him just like you are, with all of your sin, with all of your shame. Come to Him. Will you come to Him this morning as we sing a closing hymn? Shall we just bow in prayer? Father, maybe there's one here that needs to be saved. Maybe there's one here that needs to come to Christ. Maybe there's a boy, a girl. Maybe there's a man or a woman. They see that they're lost. They're been blinded by the God of this world. They need to be saved. Oh, Father, speak to that soul. Bring them to Christ. Oh, Father, bless us through the invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me. And I come on all of those to do this morning that aren't saved to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to join his chapel. I'm asking you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand and sing number 373? And I'm going to be the first one down at the front to welcome you to Christ. Number 373.